Episode 181 of the Hogan Johns podcast is brought to you by Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. For value and integrity, it has to be Haggerty. JerryHaggertyChevrolet.com. Go see them in Glen Ellen. And if you do, make sure you tell them that Hogan Johns sent you. Walk right in the front door. Mike Haggerty sitting there at a desk. He'll help you out, I promise you. And, you know, I got to say, Johns, the Tahoe, for a while, my wife has been like, you know, it's a little too big. I don't like driving it. And then all of a sudden, last weekend, I had to go to East Lansing with Northwestern, and she was going up to Wisconsin for her grandma's 100th birthday.
Happy birthday.
That was awesome. I wish I had been there. But all of a sudden, she's like, you know, honey, I think I'm going to take the Tahoe this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, she played the trump card there, huh?
It's fine with me. I was out of town, but she, you know, I think it's coming around. But yeah, go see the guys in Jerry at Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. Also want to tell you about, if you're not already subscribing to Sports Central, it's, you know, if I realize not all of the people listening to this podcast are Bears fans, are also fans of other teams. But if you are fans of other teams in Chicago, you should be subscribed to Sports Central. Next week, Mark Carmen and I are going to do a special Bulls roundtable. We're still lining up the guests, but we're going to have a good roundtable discussion on the upcoming Bulls season.
You should get Jimmy Butler on.
Ooh.
He's got a lot to say.
Yes, he has a lot to say. He probably... a lot of it seems to be staged and manufactured.
Yes.
The things he has to say. Yes. You got anything you need to plug, Mr. Hockey Man? You got like a new hockey podcast or something?
No, I'm tired.
You're tired?
I'm tired.
All right. Let's get rolling here. Episode 181 of the Hogan Johns podcast.
Podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot route! Red 7! Hot route!
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone's just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now,
what time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Back to football after the bye week. Johnsy didn't get much of a bye week.
I feel confused. I got way too much pucks and goalie talk in my head right now. Corey Crawford's comeback. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane are off to some high-scoring hot starts. But apparently there's a football game. We're back at it, man.
You sure you don't want to do like, you know, Pucks and Sticks podcast or the Power Play Pod?
Yeah.
Something like that?
That's a good name for it.
Right? Yeah.
The penalty kill. Like
the PK.
Grinding it out in the corners. Something like that. Mucking it up. I was looking forward to going to Florida. Getting away from the cold ice rinks. But apparently there's a hurricane down there.
Yeah, but it's gone now.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. It's sunny now.
I was looking at the forecast.
Is it supposed to rain on Sunday?
Not Sunday, but Saturday and Monday.
All right. Yeah, it got cold here in Chicago real fast overnight.
Oh, from 90 to 45.
Real
cut in half.
But the Bears are back at it this week. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe with an R-O.
How we doing, boys?
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Hey, Joey Jojo!
Thanks to Joe for helping us last week. We had a great showing at Cortland's Garage.
Yes, it was fun. Thanks, Joe.
Seriously, that was a great crowd. Appreciated everyone that came out and also hung out afterwards. I laughed because we got some of our best questions that we got from the audience came after the podcast.
And we had a lot of conversations.
And I was like, why did you ask that during the pod? One of them was about Leonard Floyd. Because we both said this guy needs to get to 10 sacks this year. But that was before the Khalil Mack trade.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like he needs to get to 10 sacks anymore.
Well, it was in reference to something I said. If not now, when? And whether or not that he becomes, not on a bus, but not the same type of caliber pick if he's not producing 10 sacks. But I don't think he has to right now. And I think his broken hand has changed a few things. But I think Leonard Floyd is having a pretty good solid season. I'd like to see him get to the quarterback a bit more, but it was a fair question.
Yeah,
because we questioned his longevity, his durability, everything about his place on the team if he doesn't get 10 sacks.
Well, thanks for everyone who came out. I hope not for sure, but I hope we're going to do one or two more of these before the season is over.
I want to thank the very generous waitress at Cortland's, because I spilled after you left. You left about an hour after the show,
yeah,
right? I spilled a bunch of cheese curds. I'm very animated when I talk. I was talking.
And you just like smacked it?
Yeah, I was having some bears conversations with some of the people who came to watch our show, and I had the cheese curds in my hand, a whole plate full of cheese curds, the appetizer there, and I shifted because I get animated with my hands when I talk sometimes.
Yeah.
And they went flying off the tray all over the floor.
Adam Jones!
Good job, buddy.
She gave me some more. They were good.
They were very generous at Cortland's Garage. It was a great venue, and I highly recommend it, especially if you live down in the city.
Go check
it out on Cortland, Bucktown area. A lot of fun. That Leonard Floyd topic, I addressed it in 10 Bears Things, which will be out later today, WGNradio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you read Adam Johns' hockey thoughts, all hockey.
You're like laughing at me.
Plenty of Bears.
Alex DeBrinkert, baby.
Yeah.
4 points, 3 games. Hey, off to a great start. They look all right.
You did a great job covering. You did a great job covering hockey.
It's like an old hat.
So I understand why, you know, Chris DeLuca says, hey, man, we need you to pinch hit for us.
Yeah. It was good to catch up with the
What's the hockey term for pinch hit?
Pinch hit? I don't know.
So
it was a shift change.
It was a shift change. All right.
I think it's double shift, actually. That's a double shift.
Double shift?
Yes. I did get double shifted. That's a good one, Joe. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Adam Johns and Patrick Kane.
Yes. Double shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Kane's off to a good start.
Yeah.
Double shifting. I like that. That's the name of a podcast. Double shifting.
All right. So a week into the hockey season, are they going to make the playoffs?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. Yes. I don't think they're done. I don't.
Okay.
They got some question marks, some serious question marks. Could use another defenseman, but I don't think they're done.
Well, you can listen to the entire Blackhawks season on 720. WGN.
Look at this. You're just full of plugs today.
Nail them in there. Actually, one more I do want to get in. I meant to mention it off the top. I don't know if you saw this. I did the House of L podcast.
Lawrence Holmes.
I told my guy Lawrence I would mention it on the pod. And we talked about this. We talked about you. We talked about this podcast, how it started, you know, our partnership. And so for our listeners, I think it would be very interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Now I have to check it out.
It's a long conversation. It's about an hour. We talk a lot about, you know, my career getting up in this business. So it's more so, we didn't talk Bears. We talked about covering the Bears. We talked about the job a lot. But for those of our listeners that are kind of interested in that stuff, more of the behind the scenes background, a part of our lives and our jobs. It was a really fun conversation with Lawrence. So,
Lawrence does a great job on NBC Sports Chicago, by the way.
He does that post-game show they
absolutely
have with Briggs and Forte and
Alex Brown.
That's right. And they do a good job. So check. It's called The House of L. Subscribe for it. It's anywhere you look for ours. Like I tell you every week, search Hogan Johns, rate, review it, Apple Pod, Google Play, tune in everywhere. That just search for House of L, and that's the podcast there, so you can find that. That was a lot of fun. All right, let's jump into some Bears conversation. I have a couple questions for you that I think are fun to talk about here as we sort of reset going into the rest of the season. Are the Bears the best team in the NFC North? I know they're in first place. Are they the best? But are they actually the best team? I think there's an argument to be made that they are.
Well, they have the best defense.
That
goes a long way.
No one would have thought 4 weeks ago that the Vikings would not have the best defense in the division.
No, they look like they're full of holes, actually. Look, until Mitch Trubisky gives us some more, and maybe that Buccaneers game is just the best tease thus far. I mean, obviously it is. I can't say that yet. I just can't, because the other three quarterbacks in the division are much more proven. But if he continues to do what he did, even if it's three touchdowns, you know, my favorite prediction every week for Mr. Trubisky, he has three touchdowns against the Dolphins, and he has two against the Patriots. If he continues to put up some good numbers and the Bears continue to win, then yes, the case can be made. Absolutely.
I was impressed by the Vikings, the way they beat the Eagles. Their defense didn't look perfect, but it looked better.
Kirk Cousins like had two incompletions or something.
Kirk Cousins is good.
Yes.
I think I'll finally...
He completed like 90% of his passes.
You were on that like 4 years ago, and I was like, he's not that good. He's pretty good.
Yep.
That was a clear upgrade. And I said that this offseason. I love that move for them. I knew Case Keenum was going to drop off with Pat Shurmur leaving. The Vikings identified that. Now he's struggling in Denver. That was an easy prediction to make over the offseason. The Vikings, I'll say this, are the only team I'm really worried about.
Because they have a lot of talent? Because they're kind of underachieving?
Yeah. If that defense, if they figure out the defense, they're the team to beat in the NFC North.
Yes.
There hasn't been a whole lot of evidence, though, that they're in the same ballpark as the Bears defense right now.
No. Like we said on the podcast at Cortland's, defensive windows fluctuate. Like if you're like they're an outstanding defense, but they're not a championship winning defense quite yet. But those defensive windows can close fast just in terms of attrition. Losing one guy in Everson Griffin who's having his own mental health issues. When that happens, those windows close. That's why you go get a Kirk Cousins to keep things open longer for your team. But defensive windows, man, they open and shut quite quickly.
Also, Adam Thielen might be the best wide receiver in the entire division right now. He's unbelievable. And Stephon Diggs is really good, too. So they have the best receivers. I like the Bears' weapons, but those two guys are...
Well, they're established, yes.
They're really, yes, really yes, good. Yes. So let's talk about the Packers, then. Right now, they're everything I thought they'd be. They're a mediocre football team that's being carried by their quarterback with a head coach that's probably going to get fired at the end of the year. I still believe that. Because if they don't make the playoffs, I think he's gone. New GM. And I don't think at this point they're going to make the playoffs. They're 2-2-1. They're still in it. But when I said all that stuff about the Packers that I said in the offseason and predicted that they wouldn't be as good as everyone thought, that was before they made their biggest mistake. And their biggest mistake that is going to haunt them for years is that they allowed the Bears to get Khalil Mack.
Absolutely. Did you see Colin Cowherd's rant about this?
I watched it like 5 minutes before you
got here.
It's
like a good 5-minute rant.
Now,
I don't agree with the guy a lot, but he's right on.
Well, so the one gripe I had, so he did this whole thing about how point differential. Which I mean, in some ways it's kind of an obvious argument because, yeah, if you have the most points, you're probably winning football games. But
also keeping the other team off the scoreboard.
Yeah. But it's the flux.
That applies to all
correlating
sports,
it. Yeah. Yeah, but my point is correlating point differential to being in the Super Bowl makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Right? But it's a good argument by him. I also, it's a little misleading, though, to put the Bears at the top of that. Not that they're up there.
Because of the one game.
But all their games have been close except for one. They blew out the Bucs.
Yes, yes.
And so that's sort of misleading. It's not like they've bit all three of their wins. Now, they beat the Seahawks comfortably. That was a comfortable win. But they struggled against the Cardinals, pulled it out. But which good teams find a way to do it.
Didn't the Seahawks, I just looked it up right here, didn't they drop 31 on the Rams?
Well, the Rams, yeah. And by the way, that's the Rams' win over the Seahawks last week was their version of the Bears' win over the Cardinals. It's not a great football team, but you're going to have to go on the road sometimes
and pull out a win. Yeah.
When you don't.
Any given Sunday.
So
that point differential thing applies to all sports, though, by the way. Like he didn't mention hockey.
Yeah.
But I remember the Hawks, in terms of their championship runs, especially like in 2010. Their point differential was astronomical in a sense in terms of hockey.
Right.
Like so what he's saying is you could tell which teams are the great ones, are emerging as the great ones when they're handily beating the teams that they should.
And so right now the Bears are up there with the Rams and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And that was sort of his point. Like, hello, is anyone realizing this? The Bears are up there. Now, his other point that he got into, though, because he started this whole thing about really what's ailing Aaron Rodgers. And his overall point was the Bears. Over the next 5 years, it's going to be Khalil Mack and the Bears that are going to be hurting Aaron Rodgers. And I agree with it. I think it's happening right now. And so, I don't know. I guess if at this moment I had to rank the NFC North, I'd say Vikings 1A, Bears 1B, Packers 3rd, Lions 4th.
I like how the drama already is building between Rodgers and McCarthy.
It's been building for a long time.
Oh, it's it happens every single year, but people seem to want to ignore it, especially up north.
I can't believe how much everyone ignored the McCarthy situation in the offseason. They gave him a one-year extension.
So he wasn't a lame duck.
But you're still a lame duck. That's what we talked about with John Fox last year.
Yep.
You're already a lame duck.
Even if they do make the playoffs, they're in Super Bowl bust or everybody's out situation.
And they're not that good defensively.
No, they're full of holes. They've drafted like 50 defensive backs over the past 4 years. Still looking for answers.
Rodgers is so good. But he is, again, they are one injury away from, and I think I said this at the beginning of the year. I mean, I thought they were an Aaron Rodgers injury away from picking in the top 10. And that may still happen.
There's still plenty of football left.
If they fall apart. He's good enough to somehow sneak into the playoffs still, if everything breaks their way. But that's not a team that can win the Super Bowl. I don't think they are.
Not with that defense.
Right.
Now at that point differential. are you going onto the Lions now? Is that what's next?
Well, we could. I mean, they're there. Yeah. We said that a couple weeks ago. They're just kind of there. Yeah. They're a tough team to beat.
Mm-hmm.
But you should beat them. When you play in the Lions, you know it's not going to be an easy game, but you feel like you should win. And the Vikings feel that way. Yeah. The Packers feel that way, and the Bears feel that way.
The Packers have actually had some struggles with them the past few years, huh?
Well, including on Sunday.
Yes. That's continued. Matthew Stafford, I think, is Matthew Stafford. That's praise and also a criticism in a sense. You're always left wanting more with that guy. Puts up a lot of great numbers. Has a couple fourth quarter comebacks, but he just doesn't win enough. Just doesn't win enough.
That's fair. No, he's got plenty of excuses, too. But
well, yeah, the defense is always in flux, it seems.
I'll just say this. This is a year the Bears have to go 3-0 against the division at home. They're already 0-1. They went 0-6 against the division last year. John Fox was terrible against the division. I forget the overall record off the top of my head right here.
Well,
I've written about it before.
It's not good. No, it's not good. Look, they had the Packers beat at home.
Right.
You could go into Minnesota and get one. You could go into Detroit and get one. We've seen them be close in Detroit under John Fox, and then things get away.
I realize we're in week 6 right now and getting way ahead of ourselves, but that week 17 game in Minneapolis, there may be a lot on the line the way it's looking right now. So how good do you think this Bears team can be? What was your prediction at the beginning of the year?
9-7.
And I said 10-6.
Did you say 10-6? You're just adding a win right now.
No, you want to read about it? I can pull it up for you.
Should we call him on it, Joel?
I think we should.
Okay.
Read it.
Well, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I'll find
you
it.
You should have been prepared, man.
Well, I didn't. Prepared. I didn't.
All right, so 10-6.
I didn't expect that you guys weren't listening to me.
Well,
sorry,
I'm surprised how much we don't listen to you.
I don't blame you. Do you have an adjusted prediction right now?
Not yet. I'm close to it because I think a lot of people are. Heck, even Rick Morrissey, Mr. Wet Blanket himself, has gotten on the Bears bandwagon.
Yeah.
I just want to see more from Mitchell Trubisky. And I've been one of his supporters. I feel like I've been fair with him where others have been writing him off after 2 games.
Yeah.
I think there are more great games coming for him, just like I feel like there's more bad plays and more bad series coming for him. I think they're in good hands with him. I really do. I've said it before. Anyone who asks me, whatever fan, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. It's just a matter of how great he becomes, but we need to see more. If he produces a big game against the Dolphins on the road, then yeah, I'll definitely adjust to win. I think the Bears could feasibly go 3-1 over the next 4 games here. They should take it to the AFC East.
I think
they
so,
really
too.
Should.
I think so, too. And I think if they win Sunday, they actually have a chance to beat the Patriots next week. I mean, it should be a good game. All right, so this is September 6th, 2018. This would be before the opener against the Packers.
I got you.
The record. I don't know if you want me to turn this around so you could see it.
All right, it does say 10-6, but I should say you could go into those things and save the date where it doesn't look like a change, and you could make edits.
But Joe knows this. We can go inside WordPress, see where the edits were made.
Okay.
And I don't think
there's a date and time on there, yes. Yeah. Okay.
And I said, I understand why some are hesitant to believe the jump can be made this year. The Bears have not earned the benefit of the doubt around here lately. But if you take the team name out of it, this team fits the recent NFL formula for making a big improvement. Good defense, talented year two quarterback, new school offensive head coach, and coming off a year in which they were competitive in almost every game they played, which is true about last year. They just lost most of them. The schedule also isn't nearly as hard as many are making it out to be, especially if you don't believe the Packers are going to be as good as most think they will be. I had the Bears at 9-7 or 8-8 before the Khalil Mack trade. He's a rare player who could be worth 1.5 wins. 10 wins is doable for this team.
Okay. I like your 10-win prediction right now. I'll be honest.
Thank you. I also put him in the playoffs as a wild card team. That felt like a jump.
Yeah. That's bold.
But
it's a bold prediction right there, my friend.
I also had the Texans winning the AFC South.
There's still time.
Actually, they're still like only a game back.
Yeah.
They don't look like two and three, though. And Joe's reminding us that John Fox was 3-15 against the NFC North. That's horrible.
The crowning moment of his tenure was the Brett Favre homecoming game.
Right.
That was what, year one?
And the low point was last year.
When
he challenged a touchdown against the Packers and lost the football. Which is the quintessential moment of the John Fox era, in my opinion.
I still remember the screen grabs of his facial expressions at that time.
Yes.
Just the confusion, the confoundment.
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but...
I don't want to keep piling on the guy, but my gosh.
It is kind of fun, though. It's probably not nice.
They won one game they were favored in. That blows my mind.
Yeah, I think, well done, it'd be well said.
All right. What if they win more than 10? Are we getting too crazy here? Because I felt like before the season began that the schedule wasn't as hard as people thought.
Well, people use past success too much to gauge what the future is.
Nagy talked about this on Monday, too, and it's a great point. Anyone who thinks we admit this every year, like in the spring when the schedule comes out, we're like, ooh, we're making predictions. I mean, no one knows how good these teams are going to be.
No.
You never really know. You never really know when week one starts. It all ends up looking very different a couple weeks later.
I really think people underrated the amount of change that happened within the Bears own division. Every single team, yes, the Bears included, had major changes at major positions, whether it's the front office, coach, or quarterback.
Right.
Could not have been more underrated, I think, this offseason.
Well, quickly, and we'll move on, but let's break this into quarters because they got four games against the AFC East coming up here. That's really weird to be playing four games.
We doing predictions?
But you said 3-1 is doable. I agree with you. Dolphins, Jets, Bills. All three of those teams.
See, even if they beat the Patriots and get surprised by the Jets or something, I think they go 3-1 in these four games.
Yeah. Which is what I thought about the first quarter of the season, too. I thought they'd beat the Packers, lose one of the other three. But it turned out to be opposite. They ended up losing to Green Bay, but they won the next three. So I agree with you. I think 3-1 is what's going to happen here in these next four games. So then the next quarter of the season, it's another kind of weird schedule quirk, but they're going to play the Lions, Vikings, and Lions again in like a week and a half.
One's on Thanksgiving.
Week and a half stretch. And then they got a trip to New York to play the Giants, who are certainly beatable. So you expect to beat Detroit twice there. I just brought it up earlier. You need to go 3-0 against the division at home. So that means you expect to beat the Vikings at home. And then you go to New York. Again, that looks like a 3-1 doable stretch.
I would say 2-2 because I think that random 10 days of where you play the same team twice plus the Vikings, who we were just highlighting for their underachievements with their potential, I would say 2-2, just because it's just a weird schedule quirk and you're getting into the meat of your schedule right there.
Here's what I'll say: between that AFC East stretch and this next quarter, now we're talking. You're right; probably one of them will be 2-2.
Yes.
So that is, let's see. I'm not a math major.
I was a math major. I wasn't actually, but.
That's so you do it.
That's 5-3, right?
Pen and paper.
That's 5-3 over their next 8.
Okay,
And they're already 3-1, so that's 8-4.
8-4.
Okay. So that means they have to go 2-2 in their final four games to get that 10-win mark. Rams come to Soldier Field. Tough game. Packers come to Soldier Field.
Should be a tough game.
Who knows at that point? I still think the Packers have the ingredients to be one of these teams that ends up spiraling. But if Rodgers is healthy, it's a tough game. That's how it works. 49ers?
Should be a win.
Even on the road. And then you got to go to Minnesota at the end of the year. But 2-2 there.
You're looking at 2-2, so there's your 10-6.
I think it's still possible.
Now going 4-4 over the last eight games? Ooh, I think they may do better than that.
That's what I'm saying. That all of a sudden, you look at how this team's playing. I don't think 11 wins is crazy to be talking about.
If this defense continues to play like it's playing, they're number one or number two in how many categories? Quite a few. Some of the very most important ones in terms of getting after the passer. Yes. Yes. I could see a 10-6 season at the very least.
And the way the Vikings are playing right now, they don't look like a team that's going to pull away.
It all comes down to Mitchell Trubisky, just in terms of, like, if the defense delivers a 3-minute drive for him at the end of the game and he needs a field goal.
Right.
Or he needs, you know, the full score. Can he do it? Can he do it? But there are a lot of reasons, my friend, to be optimistic.
Joe, you're always kind of the voice of reason on this show. Are we getting crazy here?
Yeah, I don't think so, man. I mean, even the tough games on the schedule, the Rams, that's in December, at a point where
That's a good point.
Who's going to face, like, who's going to give the Rams a run for their money in that division? They might have the West already locked up by that point.
And you can't rule out injury situations. Well, you mentioned Rodgers, but the Rams, their two cornerbacks are banged up.
Sure.
Their top two receivers are getting over concussions. How is that going to be for them in terms of the roller coaster ride for the season?
And I have it on pretty good authority. I wrote about this already. That game's going to be on Sunday Night Football. I'm like 90% sure.
I need the Packers game to move back. So if you could, you know, I got a wedding the night before. I'm just thinking about myself.
Oh, you don't want the noon game against the Packers?
No, I need to be waking up at noon.
Where's the wedding? Here?
Yeah, Western Suburbs.
I don't think Rodgers is going to deliver that for you.
Not even a 325?
Well, maybe that one.
Okay.
It is Bears-Packers.
People watch.
Maybe we can get that. I don't know if Fox or CBS has the doubleheader that week. But if Fox has the doubleheader, maybe that gets moved to the afternoon for you. I'll work on it.
Thank you.
Okay. And but maybe, that Rams game is going to be a night.
I got a busy weekend, Adam. I got Bob Seger on Friday. I got one of my best friend's weddings on Saturday and Bears-Packers on Sunday. So I need some time to sleep and rest.
Bob Seger.
Yes.
Man, that like double shifting is get to you, man.
Yes, yes. Double shifting. We are double shifting.
All right. It's just, you know, it's fun that the Bears are, that we're even talking about this stuff, right? We're probably getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
So overdue.
Go beat
Adam, we've covered the team from Lovey to Trestman to Fox to Nagy.
I know.
It's refreshing.
Do you know who played for all of those head coaches?
Hit it. Go ahead. Your guy just hit it.
A guy named Sherrick McManus, who I think is underappreciated on this team. And okay, so for real though, I wrote about Sherrick this week. You can read it a little bit later today in my 10 Bears Things, because I find it fascinating how here's a guy that has been on the team for so long, basically a special teamer. And he's a really, really good special teamer. But for the most part, when he's been put out there corner, he struggled. And there's been...
Or nickel.
And nickel. He just hasn't played certainly as well as he does on special teams. And all of a sudden, Vic Fangio, about halfway through last year, identified something with Sherrick and has turned him into a legitimate defensive weapon within one package where they have him rush the quarterback. It's fascinating to me.
I think he saw something on special teams. The way he's able to get in the backfield, whether to...
Well, people can't block him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so shifty. He's so quick. This guy has an unbelievable twitch. It also makes you...
Timing, too, yeah.
Well, it also makes you wonder, like, why isn't he a better cornerback? I don't know the answer to that. But I think it speaks to how good of a coach Vic Fangio is, that he's found a role. And then he has this game against Arizona a couple weeks ago where he gets the sack to clinch the game. He gets the interception. He was only on the field for five snaps.
It's crazy.
So I wrote about him.
And his best play might have been the open field tackle on Christian Kirk's punt return.
Exactly.
At full speed.
Right. So anyway, I wrote about Sherrick this week. I talked to Pat Fitzgerald, his college coach, a little bit. And anyway, you can read this a little bit later on today when it's on WGNRadio.com. But I wanted to bring a short snippet of my conversation with Sherrick. I hope our listeners find it as fascinating as I do. I think it's cool. So anyway, just starting about that game in Arizona and just how he has sort of found a role on defense once again.
Yeah, man, it's been good. I just think, you know, stick with it, stick at your job, do your job, you know, the opportunities that present themselves. I remember before I made that play in Arizona, special teams coach had just mentioned to me, just kind of just keep doing your job, stick with it, and the opportunities will come. Talking on special teams, you know, but that's the case for offense, defense, and special teams. So it's been good, man. Just do my job and hopefully can make some more plays in the future.
So when you get out there in that package where you're actually rushing the quarterback, do you consider yourself like an edge rusher at that point? Or
man,
what do you call yourself?
A football player, honestly, man. That's it, man. So, you know, whether it's defense or special teams, just trying to be a great, good football player and do my job, man, make some plays.
So that stretch you had, though, in Arizona, you get the sack, interception, all on five defensive snaps. It's got to be one of the, you know, best five defensive snaps that there's ever been.
Man, God is good, man. It was great to see just to see some hard work pay off, man, and make some plays to help us win that game, you know. So now just trying to move forward, you just want to reciprocate that and do it again.
And on teams, you had the open tackle, too. You've been close to the Pro Bowl a couple times. I mean, is that still a goal for you in special teams?
Definitely a goal for me, man. I've been aiming for it. Hopefully I can make some more plays, make some big plays, and you know, hopefully they come to me and I can make it happen.
And I'll tell you what, last year I thought he was on pace to make the Pro Bowl, and then he suffered that hamstring injury in Baltimore and ended up missing three games. Wasn't quite as productive the rest of the year after that. So
he's always had various ailments here or there. Maybe some hamstring problems?
Yeah, well, that's what it was last year. I'll tell you what, though. I think these defensive splash plays can help him get noticed for that special teams Pro Bowl spot, too. But anyway, I just want to bring a little bit of that to you before we move on and talk about this Dolphins game. And again, you can read the whole story a little bit later on today. 10 Bears Things on WGNRadio.com. All right.
What number is he?
Which thing?
Yeah, which thing?
Right now, he's number one.
Ooh.
I don't think I'm going to change it.
I like it. I like it.
By the way, I also shared some of my grades on the early part of the season, which I don't always do.
What thing is that?
The third thing.
Third thing. Okay. I'm just asking if somebody wants to scroll down, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to. That's why I do it that way. You can read whatever thing you want.
Okay. Make a conversation.
How big is the round?
I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick. Yeah.
We are idiots. We are idiots.
Bears at Dolphins.
All right. Bears are a 3-point favorite. Dolphins blew a 17-0 lead against the Bengals last week. I don't think they're that good.
No.
They're
at home.
Their offensive line is a mess. This is a bad matchup for them. Even if Laremy Tunsil ends up playing, he was limited in practice yesterday. It's Thursday as we record this. We'll find out if he practices more today. I'll tell you what, though. Even when he was out there, I watched this whole game last week. When Laremy Tunsil, their left tackle, came out of the game was over. It was a disaster.
Was he even that good to begin with, though?
Sam Young, his replacement, certainly made him look like he was an all-pro.
Okay.
He is pretty good, though. Even with him out there, though, this is a line that's missing Josh Sitton, the former Bear, got hurt. He's on IR. Ted Larson is their left guard. Ted Larson, training camp instigator Ted Larson. The guy who started every fight.
Do you remember we did that interview with him and he sat there with his arms crossed with his glasses on in the courtyard?
Oh, yeah.
Badass. Yeah. That's after his one of many fights in Bourbonnais that year.
That guy, he started a fight every day.
He's starting? Okay.
He's starting at left guard.
They're missing a couple other guys too, aren't they?
They are. And I'll tell you what. I've been saying this every week, but Akeem Hicks, like I legitimate prayers go out to every right guard in the entire National Football League right now. And that includes Jesse Davis, the Dolphins right guard, because I watched him very closely, just kind of looking at these individual matchups. And that guy is going to get killed on Sunday.
Akeem Hicks is going to be a very motivated man. Very motivated man after getting kicked out last week for, I still haven't seen evidence of what happened. I'm glad he was not suspended, especially if there's no video evidence of the thing occurring. But
I think that his
history
helped him too.
Yeah, his reputation.
They eliminated suspension real quick in the week.
Yeah.
So what was that, Tuesday?
There's a Hogbomb.
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 Not many of those out there. But
it's up in the mornings.
Yeah,
the upstairs bathroom.
Yeah, this. Jesus. All right, let's get to our one big question for this game. I don't know how it could be any other. We have to agree on this one, right? It's got to be how Mitch used to play.
Handle success. Yeah, I want to see how he comes off a performance that we have never seen before from a Bears quarterback. As good as Jay Cutler was in some of these games, you know if he's playing against the Bucs, he has at least two interceptions and may throw for four touchdowns. I've never seen anything like it from a Bears quarterback. We've seen it from other quarterbacks across the league, especially young ones. So how does he handle that success against a secondary that's gotten pretty good at taking the ball away, I think, from the Dolphins? If you want one positive for them, don't they have like 10 interceptions or something like that? So that they've proven they could get their hands in some balls.
Yes, that's that is true. I need to have these. There we go.
I'd like to see him get his hands on more balls.
It's working
out. They do that down that in Miami.
Dude. Which leads me to
bold predictions.
Bears force three takeaways and score a defensive touchdown. Ryan Tannehill, I feel bad for him. He's running for his life right now. The Bengals hit two defensive scores in the fourth quarter last week. I'm sure they'll make some kind of adjustment on offense, bring extra help. I don't know. But Khalil Mack coming off a week off. Akeem Hicks, week off.
My question for you in terms of bold prediction, I want to go defense as well. Where would you put a bold prediction for sacks in a game? Several years ago, how many times did the Giants get Cutler? Nine times?
Yeah.
Was that nine times?
Yeah, I remember that game that in New York against the Giants.
So what can we say, eight times?
You're going for, that would be bold.
Yes. Seven. Okay, I'll say seven.
Seven. Seven's still
sacks.
Pretty bold.
Seven sacks.
Seven sacks. Oh, man. They're going to be getting after it. But you might not be wrong. I'm surprised you're not picking seven touchdowns for Mitch.
I think people will like if I don't use that prediction and they can come back to me on Twitter.
You should have predicted your three touchdowns.
You should have done it. I think he has a good game, though. I do.
I think so, too. I think, and this can get into our predictions.
Predictions.
I think before the Bucs game, I would put the Bears offense scoring two touchdowns in this game. After the Bucs game, and also considering they have 2 weeks to prepare for this one, Andy Reid's record after a bye, 20-4.
A lot better than John Fox's. At least with the Bears.
Andy Reid, 20-4, coming off a bye, and that includes the postseason. Like, so when they get a bye in the first round of the playoffs. That doesn't mean Matt Nagy's going to carry that over, but he talked very clearly last week that he was using the same bye week techniques. Giving the whole week off. It worked for Andy Reid. That's the strategy he's using. I think where it really helps him, and I think it helps Mitch, is they got 2 weeks to prepare for this game. We've seen scripted plays work well. there's extra time. Like how we now it ended up not paying off against the Packers. They ended up losing that game. But early in that game, you saw how much the time they had to prepare for that specific game paid off. So I think there's, I think they score three offensive touchdowns in this game, and then I already predicted the defensive score. So I have the Bears winning 28-13.
No Cody Parkey revenge factor?
I don't even think he gets his extra points. That's it.
I think he kicks a couple. What did you say? What was the
28-13?
28-13.
Because on the other side, unless the Dolphins come up with a defensive score themselves or a special team score, and I should mention Jakeem Grant, their returner, is good. And he had a 71-yard punt return for a touchdown last week. So that's something you gotta keep in mind.
But the Bears special teams have been good. Vastly different under Chris Tabor.
Very good.
I think it's 27-10. I don't see the Dolphins doing much offensively. I just don't. I don't see it. They don't match up well, especially with all their injuries up front. It's going to be a long day for Ryan Tannehill, as we predicted with our 7 sacks. That's bold, baby. 27-10 Bears.
That's bold, baby. Maybe I'm giving the offense a little. I actually have a lot of respect for this Dolphins defense. This Dolphins defense is good. But Cameron Wake's not practicing. He didn't play last week.
But even like if the defense does play well, if the Bears defense delivers Mitchell Trubisky a short field.
Yeah.
You're at least looking at a Cody Parkey field goal. The Bears offense in every single week has moved the ball. Now they've settled for Cody Parkey field goals, which I think you're going to have a couple of those. But I think some big plays are showing up in the Bears offense. I think they figured a few things out, especially with your guys like Taylor Gabriel and Tariq Cohen.
Joe, what do you got here?
Yeah, I got a blowout too. I got the Bears winning 31-10. You know, the Dolphins started out hot 3-0, and then they got the doors blown off by the Patriots, blew a big lead last week. They got the Bears, who are coming off the bye this week. Next week, the Lions are coming off the bye to play the Dolphins. They're just tail spinning. And, you know, I like the Bears coming off the bye. Like you said, obviously Nagy is not Andy Reid, but I like the extra time to prepare is only going to do good things for the offense. And they go down to Miami and really take care of business.
And they're already pretty healthy. By the way, Prince Amukamara limited in practice. Anthony Miller, full practice yesterday.
Very good sign.
Marcus Cooper is the only one who did not practice at all yesterday. So, by the way, Eric Kush came up with a neck injury out of nowhere on the injury report.
Was James Daniels listed as the starter in the unofficial depth chart?
I don't
know. Did I see that right?
Is that in there?
Could be.
I gotta be honest. I didn't even look at it.
Okay. Well, I think he's gonna play some more if Eric Kush has a neck injury.
That would surprise me if they made that change. They normally don't. Like usually by like week 15, there's like somebody listed as the starter that hasn't played in 5 games.
Oh,
they almost never update that thing. Maybe they did. Maybe it's a new era.
Competitive advantage.
Maybe it's a new era.
Competitive advantage.
All right. Should we talk? I forgot to solicit a listener prop bet this week. Anyone we can come off with top of our head?
Maybe references to the 85 Bears and the one team that they lost to.
I like good. That.
One and
or
half?
Something with Dow Loggins.
Yeah.
That's a little bit harder because Loggins is the OC, so of course they're going to talk about him.
He's going to be referenced a bit. Well, Loggins and Trubisky mentioned in the same sentence.
Oh, Jay Cutler mentions.
Ooh, Jay Cutler mentions.
Okay, let's do that one.
1.5. He's got to get mentioned at least once.
Yeah. Yeah, 1.5 sounds like a good number.
I would say 2.5.
Well, then why don't you just take the over, mister?
I'm trying to get... You know they're going to talk about him with Adam Gase there.
Okay, so you're taking the over.
Okay, I'll take the over.
I'm going to take the under. I think 1.5. Or 1. I think they mentioned him once.
Okay. I think they mentioned it like 2 or 3 times. So Okay. Obviously the over.
Yeah, I'll take the over too.
All right. There it is. I like it. Jay Cutler mentions in the broadcast. All right. Should we move on and talk about some other football games?
No.
Well, too bad. We're going to do it.
All right. See ya.
We're going to do it anyway. Mike Glennon, backup quarterback in Arizona. The Cardinals. That was totally an accident.
Really?
I did not do that on purpose, but that was awesome. Cardinals.
You're a pro's pro.
It's the next game I had listed, and I did not plan that. Cardinals at Vikings. The Vikings back on the winning ways. 10-point favorites at home. Noon Sunday on Fox.
we were just saying how we think the Vikings just allow games to be close because they, well, it's just who they've proven to be this year. Josh Rosen's in a quarterback. 10 points is a lot, but I feel like going on the road in that loud stadium, that loud environment, it's going to be a bit overwhelming for the young kid.
This line, I think, has surprised some. It doesn't surprise me, though, because the Bears were 5.5-point favorites against Cardinals on the road. So the Vikings in that building, they 10 makes sense to me. I mean, this line seems like it is where it should be.
I'm taking the Vikings.
Yeah, I am too. And with the biggest reason, that Bills game, I don't think they're going to let that happen again. Or they were just completely punked from start to finish by a team that's not nearly as good as they are. I don't think they let that happen again. I think they're motivated, and I'm taking the Vikings to cover 10.
Yeah, they've had some, you know, a great schedule so far with the Packers and the Rams and the Eagles, but that Bills game, for some reason, it just, obviously it sticks in my mind. Do they have a trouble maybe getting up for a game against the Cardinals? I guess I'm leaning that way, where they don't see a playoff contender on the other side, and they just don't play their best, but they still win. But I don't see them covering the 10.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, and the Cardinals do have a rookie quarterback, so I think things should be improving offensively at least a little bit, but. It should be interesting. I think it's a tough game to bet on, that's for sure. Good thing I don't. All right, let's keep it moving here.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Haven't heard from HJQ in a while.
Nope.
49ers at Packers. We're moving ahead to Monday night here just to stay in the division. 7:15 game Monday on ESPN.
I think we're going to find out how bad where the Packers are. Where do they stand? The 49ers is not a good team.
Right.
Especially with Jimmy Garoppolo out. They were actually kind of questionable to begin with. Everybody's kind of off the John Lynch bandwagon here.
Well, they were getting hyped up more than they should.
Yes, because everybody likes John Lynch. I get it.
Well, and Garoppolo, you know, finished the season with 5 wins. I think if you actually watched all those games last year, you realize that they weren't as impressive as it sounded like. But here they are.
I'm taking the 49ers. Getting the points.
They did lose by 10 points to the Cardinals last week at home.
Yeah. It's okay.
So 9.5 is a lot, too. I'm going to go with you on this one.
Yeah,
Packers win the game, but it's closer than you think.
Yes.
Mainly because that defense isn't that. I just don't like the Packers defense. Joe?
I like the Packers to cover this number. I think this is like the ultimate Aaron Rodgers revenge game. Like, no matter what, obviously he loves
the blowout game.
Yeah, he loves playing against the teams in the division, but like, for whatever reason, you know, he grew up as a San Francisco fan. They pass on him, even though he went to Cal right down the street. It's just that he sees red when he plays the 49ers, and not just because that's the 49ers colors.
Here's a big factor if you're actually betting this game that we don't. We just like talking about the spreads and picking them. But if you actually were to put money on this game, I would be really worried about Mason Crosby. Missed 5 kicks last week. That could be huge. He's either going to get back on track in his home stadium or he's not. And I think it's supposed to be cold because the forecast here for the next week is cold and they're even farther north.
Oh, one miss and you're going to get a lot of boos.
Oh, man. He'll get booed out of that stadium, which is too bad because, by the way, that guy deserves to be in the Packers Hall of Fame. He's been that good for them for that long. I don't know what the hell happened last week against the Lions.
You know, Aaron Rodgers gets criticized a lot for some of his intangibles in terms of being a leader, because he could be kind of forthright and he's a different type of leader,
yeah,
in a sense. But the way he treated Mason Crosby, like on the sideline, immediately after the game, like a lot of hugs, a lot of conversations, that stood out to me.
As a positive,
absolutely. As a positive. You know?
All right. Well, just something to think about. All right, let's move on.
That's why we have Adam on the sidelines. He knows everything that's going on.
He nailed that one.
Steelers.
Ooh, that's a new one you put in there.
It is new. Joe heard it. Joe was with us in East Lansing.
Yeah, that happened in East Lansing.
It wasn't fair. I got a tip on how they're going to start the second half. I did a sideline report talking about how they needed a big run, and then like literally the next play was a big run.
It
worked out really well.
Call you Kreskin.
Yeah. You know, Just doing my job. Steelers at Bengals, -2.5. Bengals favored. Bengals right here, noon Sunday on CBS, by the way. Bengals, clearly better. Clearly a contender, I think. I also don't know that they're as good as their 4-1 record indicates. Steelers got back on track last week. This is a tough game to call. It's in Cincinnati. I think overall the body of work says the Bengals are the better team. But it's about when you... I don't know. This is a tough one to call.
Steelers are tough to figure out. I feel like they have been for the past few years. Just an immensely talented roster, especially offensively. Defensively, clearly not the same as, you know, history says they should be. Yeah, I don't know. I do like how they're all standing by James Conner. See some Big Ben's comments.
He's a good kid. Yeah, I mean, he's an easy guy to root for.
Yeah, especially with Le'Veon Bell still away from the team.
Northwestern played at Pitt a couple years ago in the bowl game. We got the whole James Conner story. That was when he was still there. You just could tell that he was going to be a good player at the next level.
Yes.
And not a great player, but he's doing his job right now.
I don't think they miss Le'Veon Bell all that much. I really don't.
But here's the thing to me. So he announces he's coming back after the bye week, basically. Or leak that out or whatever. Why didn't he want to play against the Bengals? It's a big game for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's he worried about? I'm taking the Bengals
here.
Me too. Joe?
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, I picked the Bengals to be one of the worst teams in the league, and you'd think after a 4-1 start that I would, like, you know, forget about that and just say, okay, they're a good team. But no, I'm going to continue to be stubborn and say that they're bad, and I will take the points and the Steelers win outright. So you can lock that one up.
Ooh.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
By the way, I forgot to do this, but Bears.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
I like that too.
Okay, that's a lot of lock it ups.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
And we're done with that button for the rest of the show. Rams at Broncos. The Rams, like, just sort of keep having these like teaser tester type games. Like, when are they going to slip up? They're obviously very good. I think everyone would agree they're probably the best team in the league right now. We saw what happened when the Chiefs had to go to the Broncos a couple weeks ago. That was a game I locked up in the Broncos' favor. But this isn't a night game. This isn't a divisional opponent, not a divisional rival. The spread is 7. The Rams are favored by 7. I think they kind of got through their tough test last week against Seattle, and I think this is more of just go get business done.
Yeah, but who's
done.
Catching passes from Jared Goff?
Robert Woods.
He's good. No, he always seems to be open.
They still have Todd Gurley out of the backfield.
Yeah, I know.
Their defense.
A couple of Brandon Cooks are good players, though.
How are the Broncos going to score on this defense? That was another thing about that game against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, is we knew the Chiefs' defense wasn't phenomenal, and they could probably run the ball. They can't run the ball against the Rams right now.
All right, fine. Rams.
Talked you into it?
Yes.
All right, I'm taking the Rams. Joe?
Yeah, I'm going Rams, too. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Broncos. I think that they got a couple of easy wins at the beginning of the season against bad teams at home. This is a different kind of animal, and I am not scared. You know, I picked the Chiefs. We had the dueling locks a couple weeks ago. I think that this is a different kind of team. They're a lot more balanced than the Chiefs are, and I don't feel uncomfortable laying 7 on the road with the Rams.
And Carlos Santos.
Who's back in the league?
He's on the Rams, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes,
yes. He missed a field goal last week or an extra point or something.
Oh, boy.
Well, maybe you should go Broncos then, because Carlos Santos is on the Rams. I think they were getting Zerline back this week or something like that. I don't know. Not locked in on the Rams. Sorry. Chiefs at Patriots. This is the big Monday or Sunday night game. 7:20 Sunday on NBC. Good one. Very good game. The Patriots seem to figure things out offensively. Tom Brady is back.
Julian Edelman
not
is back.
Not that he's ever
well.
Really gone.
No,
really.
No, he's back. Patrick Mahomes did not throw a touchdown pass last week.
Two interceptions.
Was good. He was good, though. Out of the pocket. I feel like Bill Belichick will find a way to keep him in the pocket. Have you seen some of those next-gen stats? Patrick Mahomes out of the pocket? It's ridiculous. It's like Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
Like, level.
Yeah, I mean, he's
good.
Been,
but I feel like he's still really a young good. Quarterback, though, in a day, in for a day of reckoning. Not that he's going to be awful in this game, but I think the Patriots take it to him. I'm taking the Pats.
I just can't see the Patriots losing another nationally televised night game. They lost that game to the Lions 2 weeks ago. That was on the road. Now they're at home. They're playing better.
This is the type of game Tom Brady and the Patriots win. It just is.
Yeah, Pats are 3.5-point favorites, by the way. I can't remember if I said that, but I'm taking the Patriots, too, here.
Yeah, me too. They got a little extra time after playing on Thursday last week. Like Johnsy said, they got Edelman back. It seems like the other wide receiver who they get from the Browns that, you know, he's starting to get into the offense as well. So I'll take the Patriots. I don't see any way that the Chiefs keep it close.
Josh Gordon. He's been huge.
Yeah, that's the name I was looking for.
Yeah, it's like a Randy Moss 2.0, that situation coming over there. You knew it was either going to be a complete disaster and they just cut him, or Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels would find a way to turn him into a real weapon because we know how good he is. So that's working out for them so far. All right, moving on to Johnsy's favorite part of the show. Got to move through these pretty quickly here. But Notre Dame, number 5 in the country, at home against Pitt. 21-point favorites.
I'm big believers in what they're doing right now.
Really?
I think they're one of the best teams in the nation. And that change of quarterback has been everything.
It's been huge for them.
Such a difference maker Ian Book has become. Sorry, Brandon Wimbush. With all due respect, I should say.
You don't have to.
No, Ian Book is significantly better than you at your position. I don't know if they blow him out. I think they maybe win by 20. I'm going to take Pitt just to cover, but Notre Dame is going to win handedly.
Yeah, this is a huge number. Pitt beat Syracuse last week in overtime. Syracuse has been pretty good. However, they did get blown out by Central Florida a few weeks before that. They lost to North Carolina. That's not very good. And remember when they had a... This is the game I was trying to think of off the top of my head. They went and played... they hosted Penn State. Like, back in week 2, I think I picked Pitt to cover that. And they lost 51-6.
It was close at halftime.
It was. I think Notre Dame's a lot better. 21 points scares me. I wouldn't put real money on it, but I'll take Notre Dame.
Yeah, we've picked Notre Dame quite a lot on this podcast, and I think the only one that I've gotten right is the opener when they beat my Wolverines. 21, like you said, that's a big number, but I think they do cover it. They, you know, the light is at the end of the tunnel, and they blow the doors off of the Pitt Panthers.
All right. Your Saturday CBS SEC game. Good one. Number 2, Georgia at number 13, LSU. LSU lost on the road at Florida last week. Georgia's been rolling. Georgia is a 7.5-point favorite on the road.
Personally, I like the Blackhawks against the Wild tonight because the Wild have only scored 2 goals in the first 2 games.
Oh, okay.
Back to football.
Yeah.
Georgia.
I'm gonna take Georgia, too. I think they're a lot better. I don't trust LSU's quarterback situation. It's always if this was a night game in Baton Rouge, I'd say LSU, but it's 2:30. Give me Georgia.
Yeah, it's not very often that you go into Death Valley and you're the favorite by over a touchdown. I've said it all season. I don't like anything about LSU's offense, and yeah, I'll take the Bulldogs too.
All right, and then your primetime Saturday night game, number 15 Wisconsin at number 12 Michigan. Adam Hoge versus Joe Romano.
I'll just get out of the way, guys. Go.
Michigan is...
Make your best arguments, and I'll agree with the...
8.5-point favorite at home.
Eight and a half? Yeah, I'll agree with the best argument. Go Wisconsin.
Joe, did we both pick Wisconsin last year in this game?
Yeah. Yep, we did.
I think we were pretty confident that it was going to go that way. It was at Camp Randall. I think Michigan wins. Wisconsin has problems in their secondary right now. They have guys who are beat up. Not that Shea Patterson's going to kill you through the air. I think Shea Patterson, Joe, tell me if you agree with me on this. He's like just a good college quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he's elusive. He does stuff that makes college quarterbacks, you know, he's a highlight. Like you said, college quarterback. I don't see him as a professional, you know, all-star.
Because he looks to run too quickly. He wasn't all that accurate against Northwestern a couple weeks ago, I thought, but they found a way to win the game. I think Wisconsin covers but loses here. Or I'll tell you what, a couple of days ago I was actually thinking this might be a blowout in Michigan's favor. But Wisconsin played really well at Iowa a couple weeks ago on the road in a primetime game. So I think they're going to show up and keep it close, but I got to give the edge here to Michigan at home. So Wisconsin covers, Michigan wins.
Yeah, both teams have health concerns, and Michigan has them where you really don't want them against Jonathan Taylor. Along their defensive line, Rashawn Gary missed the game last week. Michael Dwumfer got hurt in the game. I like it. I like Michigan to win the game as well, but 8.5 is too much. I think it's a closer game than 8.5, so I think Wisconsin covers.
Wait, so who's winning?
We both think Michigan's winning the game, but Wisconsin covers 8.5.
Okay. Then I guess I have to go with Michigan winning the game with Wisconsin covering. No, forget you guys. Wisconsin's winning this.
Wisconsin's winning?
Yes.
Wow. My guy Corey Wooten already picked Wisconsin to win the game.
I actually saw that.
That's weird. Well, you're watching the Big Ten Network randomly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That should be fun. We need to get out of here.
I'd like to see him get his hands on more balls. Do your research.
Vic Fangio Day. Bears. Dolphins. Another easy win. It feels like it.
Are we gonna feels be like it could be.
Are we going to be wrong about this? I don't know. Follow us on Twitter and find out. At Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S producer, Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe. Go follow him on Twitter. Battle it out during the Wisconsin-Michigan game on Saturday night. WGNradio.com/Bears. That's where my 10 Bears things will be up. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read Johnsy. I believe starting today he'll have
We'll be back on the Bears. Yes.
Football.
But if you're interested in the Blackhawks in the Wild.
Some good stuff on there.
My story about Alex at the Brigade.
There's some good stuff on there. All right. Search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Tune in. Please go rate and review the pod right now. I know we have a lot more listeners than we have reviews on there. We do have a lot of reviews, though. We appreciate it.
We have a lot, yeah.
But if you haven't done one of those, go do it, please. Thank you. We appreciate it. We're being polite about it, too. All right. We're out of here. We'll talk to you on Sunday after the game. Bears-Dolphins. Should be a lot of fun.
Golly.